I am told that one of the major attractions on some television channels is what they call reality TV. In other words, you're almost living what other people have gone through or are going through, either with people taking their place. A number of years ago, there was a film released called Saving Private Ryan. And I'm told that at the very beginning, when they land on D-Day, the injuries inflicted on the people there are so real and so really in your face. And I remember reading a comment from somebody that actually went ashore on D-Day. Having watched this, he said, the only thing missing was the smell. And people want reality, it seems, today. I remember, was it Coca-Cola was the real thing? Well, this evening, I want to talk about reality in being a Christian. Reality in our daily lives. And we find it in that portion from Titus chapter 2. And it deals with everyone, doesn't it? Young and old, men and women. And right from the start, one needs to make this assumption, if one dare. The only way to live the Christian life is to be a Christian. And you can only be a Christian if you have responded to the gospel, that you have come in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have repented of your own sin, that you have looked in faith that when Jesus dying there on that cross, he died for me personally. He was there dying for my sins, never mind all the many others. And I believe that. I give up any effort of my own to please him. I repent and I look in faith. And of course, if that's a genuine movement of the Spirit of God in our hearts, and God knows, of course, he cleanses us. We are washed clean by that precious blood. We're then filled with the Holy Spirit. And we seek, do we not, to live for Christ. See, when a person is saved, he or she receives the Holy Spirit. And that will enable him or her to then go on and bear the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And these, we have to stress, are Christian fruits. Only a Christian can manifest them, can actually manifest the fruits of the Spirit as they are meant to be. In other words, a Christian has joy, whereas others may just have happiness. And daily living, it means what it says. Every minute of every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Now we could turn to Romans chapter 12, and in verse 1, it'll tell us how we are to be and how we are to live. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, what does Paul say here to Titus? Well, he starts off in verse 1, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, which is based solely on the word of God. You see, it's not only believing it, we can believe the doctrine, but it is how we behave, our behaviour in our daily living. Now, false doctrine, and we can see this in church history, we can see it happening in our own day. False doctrine leads to moral decay. And we see it, do we not, all around us. Now, the best antidote to moral decay, false doctrine, is the positive moral exhortation and teaching based on the Word of God, which then promotes true spiritual health. And Titus here is instructed by the Apostle Paul to address different age groups. And I imagine what he says here to some today in our society would not find very appealing. But we are not part of some society. We are Christians. And our following is in the Word of God. They all apply. You know, if we are young, then if the Lord allows it, we may one day grow old. And of course, different age groups do mean, or help to mean, a very more healthy church. And so the first people that he addresses is the older men. They must be sober. That means they must be temperate. They must set an example. There's nothing more sad, isn't there, to listen to grumpy old men moaning about this, moaning about that, moaning about something else. And what a blessing it is when you meet a Christian older man who's walked with the Lord, and it shows. He doesn't even have to often even speak. But the way they speak and the way that they act reveal the Lord Jesus Christ has been so much at work in their lives. Because they have a moderation, of course, in their tastes and in their habits. Indeed, they act reverently. And these men are to be worthy of respect. They live, or they must live, and they must act as men who have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps over a long period. Discretion is their watchword. They're the sort that just don't go off in a tiz when something goes wrong. And of course, they seek, do they not, with the years of experience, to have a mature judgment in different things. But not only that, you see, they must be sound in the faith. He's already talked about sound doctrine. These men have to be sound in the faith. And again, that is translated or evidenced by the way that they have love and patience for other people. Our daily living for the Lord Jesus Christ should always seek to display three main Christian graces. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And so Paul then turns Titus's attention from the older men to the older women. And again, they are to serve Christ. And he tells them there they are to behave properly. They are not to slander people. They're not to be involved with gossiping and backbiting. And it's interesting there, it talks them about not given to too much wine. Apparently, I was reading some background on this, and apparently the Cretan people were very fond of wine. So whether that's it there, I don't know. But it tells them, keep off the wine. It's very interesting. I was listening to a sermon some while ago, American pastor, and apparently in America, in some states, it's illegal to drink and drive, full stop. If you have, you know, one drink and you drive, you're over the limit. And he told this story of this pastor who'd had a very, very hard and trying day. And he came home and took his shoes off and sat down in the chair to relax. And his wife said, would you like a beer? Oh yes, he said, that would be lovely. Help me relax. I just fancy something like that. He'd only just begun getting through that beer. And the phone rang. It's one of his people. I need you. And he couldn't go because he couldn't drive. You know, too much wine, even a little bit too much sometimes. Because, isn't it true? Once we have one or two, or maybe more, our tongues begin to wag. Our inhibitions become much more looser. And what it would be like with several only knows. You see, these ladies are to teach good things by example. And verses 4 and 5 go on and teach them, doesn't it, there? They admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's one of the tasks of an older ladies within the church, is to teach the younger ladies within the church. They're to primarily teach them how to love their husbands and their children. Isn't it so important today with so much lack of discipline in all over the place to have training and teaching by example, teaching and training our children? You see, the young should look to the old and think, there's something I want to imitate. As I grow older, I want to grow like him, or I want to grow like her. And the duties that they have here are steady and faithful, an everyday one. They don't make the headlines. And they're all centred on the home. Because that's the centre, isn't it, of every family. The effectiveness and the ministry of the husband and the future of their children depend to a large degree on wives making the home what it should be, a Christian home. Because it talks there about love their husbands. And it applies, of course, to husbands and their wives. Loving there means being devoted to them. Devoted to our wives, devoted to our husbands. And sometimes they can be neglected by being too busy at church. And we've got to remember this, that children are a gift of God, not an inconvenience. And it tells her there to be discreet, especially in the area of confidentiality. No gossip. Chaste and pure, not to stray with the eyes. And be good keepers of the home. Be good and kind. And taking opportunities to use the home in the Lord's service. Obedient to their own husbands. Now let me say, submission is not grovelling subservience. Remember, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And Christ so loved the church that he died for it. And we are to love our wives in the same way. You see, submission in a Christian home is loving subordination. And men are certainly not ever to lord it over their wives. And what we must remember is this, that behind every good man is an even better good woman. All this, as it says there, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. In other words, how we as Christian men and Christian women act reflects Christianity itself. And wrong conduct surely leads to bad comments about the faith. And all of us are to seek to live day by day by the virtues and qualities that Paul gives. And so he turns to young men. Again, he tells them to be sober-minded. You see, notice the emphasis all the time on self-control. So much of what we see today is reaction, isn't it? Wherever it may be. Someone says something. Someone does something and immediately somebody else reacts. And so you have a situation. So important. The emphasis on self-control, in morals and in doctrine, all under, of course, the discipline of the gospel. And self-control is one of the marks of spiritual maturity. And we, as fallible as we are always to seek to be an example. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And really, we want to try and apply that to each and every one of us personally. We are to seek to live lives in a pattern of good works. In other words, doing good. Now, not being a do-gooder, but in doing good. You see, these are the result of our salvation. We know, do we not? We can never earn our salvation. Not in a million years. Could we even get anywhere near it? But we are to be those who express what we believe, what we've been saved from, what we're heading to, by the way we live, and the way we act, and the way we speak. And again, there is that thing about doctrine. We must be absolutely sure of the doctrines that we believe in and hold to. Because we are what we believe. And it says here, don't get involved in corruption, incorruptibility. Integrity for a Christian man or woman is a must. It's an absolute must. We mix nothing with the truth. Our integrity solely belongs to the Lord and nobody else. No falsehoods. No being economical with the truth. No exaggeration. No spin. Be sound in speech. He tells us there is a sound speech that cannot be condemned. We have to be careful in what we say. Of course, one thing we have to realise, that people will react. People will react because as a Christian lives their life, trusting in Christ and seeking his enabling grace through the Spirit to live as he or she should, you reveal the shortcomings of other folk. And one thing people don't like is their shortcomings being shown up. And they do say, do they not, that the best form of defence is attack. And people will call us names. People will mock us. People will sneer at us. And if we were in other countries tonight, they would take us to prison. And they would beat us. And they would intimidate us because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we seek to live for him. What we have to make sure is that when we do get bad comments about us, they're not justified by our bad behaviour. And then verses 9 and 10, of course, that's today we would say it's to do with the workplace. In authority, those in authority over us. And of course that works within the church and within the family as well. And so we must again, this is done voluntary. And it's got to be done in every way. We are to seek to please those who employ us. There used to be an old saying, a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. But it's so easy, isn't it, to grumble and to moan. Now, it is right and proper for us to speak our peace at times when there is injustice. Yes, we have to speak up. But we have to do it in a manner that is right for a Christian to do. And honesty comes in there as well. It talks about pilfering. I think purloining is another word. You know, no nicking anything. So easy to do, isn't it? What we have to do is to show to the world, whether it's our unbelieving neighbours, our unbelieving families, our employers, the people that we work with, the people that we associate with, perhaps in our leisure, we are to show that we can be trusted. Trusted. And through all this, we seek to advance the gospel. And that's why we are to live and act as we must, to advance the gospel. You see, the teaching that Paul is giving here to Titus and to the churches in Crete, and of course to us today, it means that it's not just about ethical sayings, but in true reality, it is the gospel of our salvation. Remember back in the Old Testament with the example of Joseph, how he had been sold into slavery and he'd been bought by Potiphar. And Potiphar saw something in Joseph, something different from all the other slaves that he had. And he promoted him, he made him head of the household, he trusted him with everything. And then Potiphar's wife starts trying it on with him. And he rejects her advances. And he says to her, doesn't he? I can't do this against my God. And of course we know what happens. She makes false accusations and he gets put in prison. I have a sneaking suspicion, I can't prove it because it's not in the scriptures, that Potiphar knew all about what his wife was like. But he had to do something to save face. But Joseph would not in any way do anything against what was God's way for him. In verse 11, we read that the grace of God that brings salvation appears to all men. That's why we must live as we must. You see, the grace of God is the basis upon the whole work of redemption. It has appeared. It points to a definite act, and it's appeared to all. People always say, don't they, for the gospel ministry is come. C-O-M-E. Children, old people, middle-aged, everyone in between. It's for all as we seek to reach them with the gospel. And who knows where our witness may indeed have an effect. You see, verse 12 there, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in the present age. In other words, in the present tense, in the here and in the now. And that, of course, is dealing, isn't it, with practical sanctification. You see, it's done, isn't it, step by step. It doesn't fall out of a tree and land on you. It's something that we'll be at to the day the Lord takes us home to glory. We'll never ever reach what we should be, or perhaps what we'd like to be. But there's no excuse for not seeking, with the Lord's help, day by day, to be more Christ-like and to seek to walk in his ways. Step by step, godly teaching, godly guidance. And with the Spirit of God's help to live godly and righteous lives, which is so at odds with our society at the moment. Where do you find righteousness in authority today? In the government? In local government? Where should you find righteousness? Surely in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejecting all idolatry, all immorality. And of course we need the Spirit's help because the temptations are strong and sometimes very hard hard to resist. And hey, we need the Spirit of God to help us in this. Be upright and, of course, be righteous to all. Because what are we doing? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. What a great day that will be. What a great day it will be that if we were alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for us. You see, the gospel is one thing it is not for. It's not for speculation. The gospel is for the practicable, right ordering of life. And for us here this evening, who are believers, it is to be lived either up until the Lord calls us home through death, or he comes for us and takes us up to be with him forever. Or may the Lord help us to somehow, with his gracious help, to live these wonderful realities of the Christian life in our homes, our workplaces, school, our churches, wherever it may be. And we can only do it with his gracious help. And may he indeed help us and enable us. Amen. Our last hymn is number 688. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. 688. From stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.